I am really excited to bring you today's guest. Today, I'm going to speak with Catherine Holliman, who is a leadership and communication coach. Now, I'm always looking for people to come on the podcast who I really feel can offer tons of value. And the one thing that keeps on coming up when I'm meeting with hiring managers, HR directors, is the communication piece. This is what organizations are looking for. This is what people want their leadership team to possess, good communication. But what does that actually mean? In today's episode, Catherine is going to break down exactly what good communication looks like, where to get started, the red flags and how to be a bad communicator and what you shouldn't do, how to really stand out, be visible, find your voice, and really identify what is your brand? What do you want to be known for? So get ready with a pen and paper to take lots of notes, because this podcast is full of valuable information that I believe if you really listen to and take action upon, will take your career to the next level. So enjoy today's episode. Please reach out to me with your biggest takeaway, and I look forward to chatting with you soon. Enjoy. Catherine, welcome to the Career Confidence podcast today. I'm delighted to have you on. Can we start with an introduction into who you are, your background, and what brought you here today? So, Catherine, over to you.
Oh, thank you. How long do we have?
As long as you want.
My background has been in communication since the beginning of my career, really. I started in public relations, so external communication, and helping businesses refine their brand reputation and communicate more effectively with their external stakeholders, so their customers and so forth. Then I flipped into internal communication and worked with managers and leadership teams on communicating within the organization. And that's really where I found my passion, my fulfillment increased, and I decided to step out on my own and set up my own company after the managing director I was working with at the time gave some lovely feedback saying that I'd really made a significant impact on him, not just for presenting skills, but life skills. And that was a real pivotal moment for me to think, I want to do this for more people. I really want to help others remove communication barriers so that they can fulfill their potential. And so I set up Behind the Scenes Communications in 2011. And here we are today. It's gone very quickly.
It does, doesn't it? You sort of blink, you're like, oh, it's been 5-6 years. Oh my God, how did that happen? Amazing sort of story and background. So I'm going to really sort of dive into now, because as I said to you before we started recording, the number one skill I'm being asked for all of my recruitment clients right now is we want people who are good communicators, Georgie. And no one can really define exactly what they mean. So I would love for you now to sort of dive into, in your experience and your opinion and, you know, all the people that you've coached, what does actually good communication mean to you?
Yeah, sure. Great question. And it doesn't surprise me that that's a skill that's being sought after more and more. Good communication is essentially when the message sent is equal to the message that's being received. So it's those people who are really able to clearly articulate whatever's in here or in here and communicate it in a way that makes sense to the person or people that they're communicating with in a way that evokes the desired response, action, or reaction. So there's that shared understanding and that shared appreciation for the message or the information. But it goes one step further to that, because communication is typically not just for information sharing. It's typically for to cause a shift, especially in the workplace, is to cause a shift in somebody's thoughts, feelings, actions, and behaviors. So that's when we can tell when there's good communication is the result of it, the outcome of it. There's a great quote, I've forgotten who it's by, but just because I've said something doesn't mean that I've communicated. And I think that's probably where a lot of people fall down. So they treat communication as something on the to-do list. And they say, tick, I've sent that email, or tick, I've made that phone call, or I've delivered that presentation, therefore I have communicated. But the message is always in the receiver. So by that, I mean the message is in your audience and whether they have effectively heard, interpreted, and understood your message the way in which you intended them to.
Right. This is really fascinating because I think this is where a lot of people go wrong, and they just assume because they've sent that email, done that pitch, you know, done that presentation, that people know exactly what the objection is and what, you know, everyone's on the same page. And 9 out of 10 times, unfortunately, for whatever reason, they're not. Especially because we live in such a fast paced world where we're constantly getting different messages sent to us. So let's just take somebody right now that's in a leadership position, that's, you know, managing multiple projects, got multiple different stakeholders and teams to manage, and they're really trying to improve their communication because they're finding they're having to chase their tail, work's not getting done. Where should they begin? So should they send a follow-up email straight after they've presented, or should they check in with everybody multiple times a day or week just to make sure, does everybody know what's going on? Are we all on the same page? What can somebody do to really ensure that what they're saying is being received in the right way and stuff's actually getting done?
Yeah, I always refer back to my 3 steps to communication success. And it starts kind of by doing some homework, some prep work, first of all. And whilst I'm going to break it down and it's now and it might sound a little bit laborious, it can often take just 30 seconds for you to think through these questions. But once you've got clarity on these 3 questions, it makes the whole process a heck of a lot easier. So the first thing to think of is, why are you communicating? What's your objective? And by that, I mean, what shift do you want to cause in the thoughts, feelings, attitudes, actions, behaviors of the intended audience? So using the example that you just gave, you, who is the leader? Are they communicating to their team, to their senior people, to their peers? And what shift are they looking to cause? Is it increasing awareness, increasing understanding, and driving engagement and advocacy for something? So getting clear on your communication objective is a really great start. And then you need to think about, well, if I want to cause that shift, what information do I then need to give this audience in order to arrive at that shift, in order to help them, in order to influence them to change their thoughts, feelings, attitudes, and behaviors? And that's your key message. So thinking really clear about, in order to achieve this, what message do I need to convey? And then you need to think about, who is the audience? Who do I need to convey this message to? And what do you know about them? What do you know about the audience? Communication isn't as cut and dry as cookie cutter and just being one size fits all. You need to really think about who your audience is and what do you know about them? How do they like to receive information? Just because you prefer to send something via email doesn't mean that they receive information effectively via email. If they're somebody that typically picks up the phone, then chances are that's their preferred method of communication. And I hate to tell you this, it's not about you. It's always, 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 always about your audience. So if you can get clear on why, what, and who your communication is for, once you get clear on that, then you can start communicating in a much more effective way and you're going to get much more cut through. And you've got clear indicators of what to look for to determine whether or not your communication has been effective. So if you know that the shift you want to cause is a change in behavior, perhaps it's a message about safety and you're looking to make sure that the number of safety incidents goes down. And so you deliver all your communication, but you're still not seeing a reduction in safety incidents. Well, chances are you need to do something a bit differently, but you can't just have one blanket approach for all objectives, all messages, and all audiences. It's just not going to work.
Again, really, really powerful thinking about the end user and how they like to be communicated with. Because it's so true. Some people prefer email, some prefer call, text. Like, I'll be honest, trying to get me on the phone sometimes is a nightmare. Send me an email and then I'll get back to you, right? Because the amount of times my phone rings throughout the day, if it's an unknown number, I don't often want to pick it up because the amount of times I do and it's a sales call, honestly, it drives me mad. And I don't want to be rude. So I'm always super polite. I'm like, thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it, but I've got to go. Yeah. And every time I pick up the phone, I go, why did I just do that? Because it's never somebody that actually is, you know, someone I actually need to speak to. So that's really super powerful. But look, I can imagine somebody listening to this right now that's got so many people to manage and to lead and it sort of blow my mind. Different people have different sort of ways they want to communicate. So how would one go about sort of finding that information out? Like when you're sort of being introduced to a new team or a new stakeholder, should they just ask right up front and say, how best can I communicate with you? How can I get hold of you, you know, if I need to?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Mm. And that has multiple effects. By asking that question, not only are you showing those people that you care about them, that you want to increase the effectiveness of your communication, that you want to increase the effectiveness of your leadership, but it also means that when you do communicate with them via those channels, they're going to be far more receptive to it because they're going to see that you've listened to them. And that means it gets you thinking, oh, if they've listened to me on my communication preference, chances are they're going to listen to me when I put forward an idea or a suggestion. Chances are they're going to listen to me. And as a leader, those listening skills are so important for you. So communication, it's not just about talking. Listening is such a big part of communication as well. And as a leader, they say that you have two of these and one of these, and we should communicate in proportion. And that's never more true as a leader.
I completely agree. And I want to actually now dive into this whole listening piece, because I will be honest and say that this is something that I've probably really struggled with. When work gets busy, I have a tendency to just assume things and I'll be working at speed, and I'm really trying to improve this. And sometimes I'll be multitasking and I won't be paying complete full attention to my colleague or my team or even a client or candidate. Like, I'm really trying to work on it. I've got a lot better than what I used to be, but it's something I'm very aware of and conscious of now. But any advice for those that really they've identified that, oh, maybe it's something I do as well, maybe I'm not truly present, and then again everything gets lost in translation. So how can we improve that piece of it? Because like you said, that is such a huge part of good communication. I think that it also holds a lot of people back. So how can we be better listeners?
Gosh, unfortunately, there's no silver bullet that we can say, okay, it's this easy. It's a skill, and communication generally is a skill. And like all skills, it does take practice. So hats off to Georgie for practicing it. First and foremost, I would say that you need to make yourself ready to receive the communication that's coming at you. So if you can put away any distractions, instead of just closing your computer or turning your phone upside down, put them away. Move yourself outside of that room. If a colleague or a team member comes to talk to you, make sure that they know that you're listening. So remove any distractions. I know that when I go out for dinner, if I'm facing a TV screen that's in the restaurant, I have to turn my back to the TV screen because I know that that will be a distraction for me. So I physically have to make myself ready and available to listen. But it's not just about making yourself ready physically. You need to kind of drain out all the information that's currently whirring around your mind to make sure that you're freeing up your mind to actively listen to what your stakeholders are trying to communicate to you. So a really great piece of advice that I was given way back in my career before a brainstorming event actually was to just spend 60 seconds writing down everything that's in your head and getting it down on a piece of paper. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be buying cat food. It could be the fact that you really want to watch the next episode of The Crown on TV, whatever it might be, just getting that out of your head. The simple act of writing it down helps to clear up that space and allows you to be freer to listen more effectively.
Yeah, because I think that's part of the problem is that our minds are so active and there's just constant stimulation coming at us 24/7 now. Like, it's hard to switch off and to unwind and to find that peace. And I've turned to meditation. I've been meditating now for like the last sort of 5 years, and that's been incredible for me, just to slow down and to really enable me to focus. And then when I am speaking to my team or my clients or whoever, I always ask myself, like, who do I want to be in this moment? And that's a really powerful question that I ask myself, because I quickly identify if I'm not being present with that person. And I have a saying that I think the biggest gift you can give somebody is your full attention, because in a world where there's so much distraction, I feel like you know when somebody's giving you full attention, and it makes them feel very seen and valued.
Yeah, absolutely. Knock-on effect of that. Sorry to interrupt you there, Georgie, but the knock-on effect of that is so powerful. And as a leader, if you can give somebody your undivided attention and you're listening at the same time as they're communicating to you, when you want them to listen to you, they're far more likely to pay that back. So speaking of listening, I should listen to you now.
No, I like it. I like it when people get excited and jump in. But yeah, I think it's just so important. So when leaders come to you and they want your help and they want to become better communicators, like what's their sort of starting point? What are you sort of seeing? Like any patterns emerging that why are people coming to you? Like what are they struggling with and what do they want to get better at as leaders?
Yeah, sure. There's a few different things that they come to me for. Women in particular tend to come for a lack of confidence. I see that a lot. It's not just women. I do get men in that realm as well. You know, the whole imposter syndrome is definitely rife. But from a confidence perspective, taking that step from being an individual contributor to being a leader can be really scary. And even if we have taken that step in the past, we can continually be questioning ourselves, am I good enough? Am I deserving of this? Am I doing a good job? And so that's often what people come to me for, or if they're looking to make that next step and they need to build their leadership presence and build their leadership voice, and they're not quite sure what that is. So that's often one that comes through. The other is for clarity and for leaders who find it really hard to articulate what's going on in their minds. And so there seems to be a lot of disjointedness amongst their team. Perhaps engagement is a bit low. Perhaps the team just isn't gelling, or the organization just isn't gelling and therefore not achieving the results that they want to be achieving. And so they're looking for help on that regard. In terms of where we start, it often comes down to the reason why people have come to me in the first place. I take them through my connection point framework, which I can share a link to in the show notes for this. It talks about four principles of communicating to connect with your audience: clarity, credibility, compassion, and consistency. And all of those will always be one of the reasons that somebody comes to me. And in terms of where to start, you can start with any of them, but I always come back to those three steps to communication success that I mentioned earlier: understanding why you're communicating, understanding the message that you want to communicate, and understanding who you need to communicate it to. And then delving into a bit more detail on each of those, for example, communication style, communication filters, how to listen more effectively. So we'll delve into all of those. When it comes to the message that you want to send and increasing your clarity, you need to think about both the explicit message that you're sending and the implied message that you're sending about who you are as an individual, because they're two very distinct things. And then when it comes to actually then articulating your message, you need to think about the words that you're using, how you're using your voice, your nonverbal signals, your facial expressions, your body language, your symbolic signals. All of those signals need to be working in the same direction. And so I always work with them, with leaders on those attributes as well.
It's a lot, isn't it? Like when you were just speaking then,
it's a lot.
I thought, wow, that is a lot to think about. And when you are starting, if you're somebody that does lack a bit of self-belief and confidence and you're experiencing imposter syndrome, it is sort of knowing where to start. And look, unfortunately, I've been doing that recruitment now for 12 years, but this sort of stuff really does hold people back. And there's a reason why I did call this podcast Career Confidence, because I think that is the foundation that to which a lot of things are built on. And if you don't have that self-belief, you're never going to put yourself forward, because confidence comes from courage, and we need the courage to start and just to begin. And sometimes you need to dig deep to find that courage. But can we just stick on the line of confidence? Because it is fascinating to me that so many people really do struggle. And they say to me a lot, Georgie, I want to be more confident. I can't take that leadership role or go and do that presentation because I'm not confident. And I say, well, you need the courage first and then the confidence will come. So how do you go about coaching, especially those women that come to you that do lack this self-belief, do lack this confidence? Is there any tools or steps or strategies that you take them through to start building up that self-belief in themselves?
Yeah, we go through a few things. And obviously, I'm a communication coach. I'm not a psychologist. And so we talk and always making sure that I explain the difference between self-confidence and self-esteem, because the two, whilst there are some similarities, they are very different. But when it comes to confidence in yourself as a leader or confidence in yourself as a communicator, confidence, as you say, begins with courage. You need that courage to take the first step. But then confidence, the great thing about it is that it's built on accomplishments. So as soon as you've taken that first step, then you can start thinking about, okay, well, I did that. I'm still alive. I'm still going. The world's not fallen down around me. So then you find the confidence to take the next little step and the next little step and the next little step. And so it builds. And so from a communication and a leadership perspective, I work with my clients to just help them take that first step. And it might be if they're looking to build their brand as a leader or build their reputation within their organization, for example, if they want to take the next career step up, a lot of the time it's about building their presence and making themselves known throughout the organization. And quite often that's where people can feel a little bit nervous because they don't want to put themselves out there too much. But unfortunately, that old saying, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And so if you're looking to take that next step in your career, but people just aren't aware of what you've achieved and the great stuff that you and your team are doing, you're not going to get the opportunities presented to you. So a first step that I'll often work with leaders on is to find the courage to put themselves out there a little bit. And it might be simply updating their LinkedIn profile. That might be the first step. It might be getting an updated photograph on LinkedIn. It might be liking a couple of comments on LinkedIn. And that's just one platform. It might be doing the same on their internal social network channels, or it might be going to a meeting. It might be asking a question. And I find that's always a really good one, especially for introverts that I work with. A really great first step to building confidence. If you're not confident enough to speak up in a meeting, perhaps asking an insightful question can be a really good way of making yourself known, making yourself heard, and showing that you are thinking about all of these things. Even if you might not want to speak about them just yet, you can ask a question on them. That can be quite powerful.
That is so powerful. And I love what you said about the whole visibility piece, because it is out of sight, out of mind. And that old saying, like, just get your head down, do the work. Like, yeah, get your head down, do the work, but let everybody know that you did the work, right? So shout from the rooftop, yeah, I did that, and be proud and own it. I think as women, like, let's start owning what we've done, and let's be proud and, you know, show off a little bit. Why not? You know, not in an arrogant way, but just be proud of what you're achieving. There is nothing wrong with that. And as women, we need to support and lift other women up. And when you're in those meeting settings where you notice somebody maybe is a bit quiet, ask them a question, say, oh, I love what you said there, Georgie, you know, you really made a good point there. Like, just let's help each other out. I think that, yeah, that whole collaboration piece is really, really powerful. And it's somebody that wants to step up into a leadership role. These are the sorts of things that you could be doing, because I think that's a true sign of a leader, of people that want to uplift others as well.
And empowering them. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And this whole thing about coming back to finding your voice, and it is really, really powerful. And stepping up and putting your hand up in a meeting. And the other thing I was thinking about the other day, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, as we've sort of transitioned now into more of an online world, hybrid ways of working, and we're not in the office as much, a lot of the meetings are done via Zoom or Teams. Any advice to people that maybe are struggling to be seen, because when they are on a Zoom call, they maybe don't get the opportunity to speak? It's, you know what it's like, it's a little bit more awkward, like who's going next is a bit easier in like an in-person setting. So for those that aren't in the office as much, how can they still get noticed and seen at work? Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. How can they still get noticed and seen at work?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I'd recommend. When prior to the meeting, forward any questions or ideas that you have to the meeting organizer so that they know in advance where your head's at and that you have been thinking about things, so that they can be encouraged and prompted to refer to you on the Zoom call. And you can let them know, can I add this to the agenda? Can I add that to the agenda? So they don't forget to throw to you. The other thing that you can do is have a buddy who might be in the room. So if there's a hybrid, which, I mean, let's face it, it's always horrendous when 90% of the people are in the room and you're not. It's so awkward and you just feel like, am I even here? Hello, am I even here? So if you've got a buddy or somebody in the room that can be your eyes and ears on the ground and can make sure that they're deferring to you and saying, Georgie, have you got anything to add? Making sure that that's the case. And then sometimes you just literally have to shout. Say, like, guys, hello, I'm still here. Don't forget about me. And the more that you call it out, the more that it's going to help change that behavior, because it can be easy to forget. And of course, make sure that you've got your video on, because all too often people jump onto these Zoom calls and onto Teams calls and they don't put their video on, which means that you're not on screen, you're not visible. And that has multiple downsides. One, it makes it harder for people to remember that you are there, and therefore harder for them to treat you as if you are in the room with them. But secondly, it limits the communication signals that you have at your disposal to help you get your message across. I mentioned before that you've got your words, you've got your voice, you've got your body language and nonverbal signals, and you've got your symbolic signals. If you don't have your camera on, then you're limiting yourself. You're removing your symbolic signals. You're removing your nonverbal signals. And so you're only using your voice and the words that you've got. So you're not doing yourself justice in that instance. So wherever possible, try and give yourself an opportunity to be seen so that you can use all your communication signals to your advantage.
Gold advice there. Absolutely brilliant. I hope people have really listened to that, because every scenario you just said then, it happens. I was in a boardroom the other day and a couple of people were brought in and black screen, couldn't see them, didn't know who they were. I didn't even know if they wanted to talk or chip in because it was just a black screen. It was really hard to sort of know they even listening to this conversation. So that is absolutely gold what you just said there. So I really want everyone to pay attention to that, because that's fantastic advice. And another thing I wanted to touch upon now is body language, because again, this is something I've had to really work on myself. I noticed that when I was in a bit of an unusual situation, or I was maybe not feeling as confident, I would sort of play with my hair a little bit and just pick up my nails a little bit. Like, this is going back a few years back before I sort of started to see Solutions, my recruitment company, but it was something that I've had to really become aware of. But any bad body language that we signal, because I think that whole signaling piece is really, it is what we also, the words that we don't say and how we hold ourselves, our posture. So anything we should watch out for that we might not be aware of, but we can maybe start paying attention to.
It's a bit like the swear jar. You know, as soon as you have something, you know, you start noticing, oh, I say that quite a lot. I need to put some money in the swear jar. As soon as you become aware of something, like you said, you're playing with your hair or picking at your fingernails, as soon as you become aware of something, the easier it is to be able to take steps to start removing it. So first and foremost, I would encourage you to find a way to record yourself in a presentation or in a meeting, in any conversation. Maybe it is that you've delivered a presentation and you've got a video of it. Have a look to see what that is like, and then you'll be able to observe any nonverbal signals that might be threatening your credibility, such as the hair playing or the finger picking. But outside of that, there are some fundamentals that we need to be conscious of. Eye contact. We live in a society where eye contact is a positive thing, particularly as a leader. You need to be able to make eye contact with people working for you, working alongside you, working above you. It signifies that you've got trust, that you've got confidence. If you can't look somebody in the eye and you're kind of skirting around the subject, it's going to start forming some question marks in their minds as to whether or not they can trust in you and believe in you. So that comes back to what we were talking about before about confidence. Facial expressions. A smile goes a really long way to help building rapport and connection with people. That's not to say that if you're having to make difficult decisions and cuts within your organization that you should be doing it with a smile on your face, obviously. But it does mean that when you're trying to engage with people, having an open, natural, warm and welcoming expression on your face is going to go a long way. Things like gestures, hand gestures. A lot of public speaking coaches will say, like, don't use your hands. I don't agree with that at all. Your hands are, again, another signal that you can use to reinforce your message and to guide people along your thinking. So use them, but you don't want to be flailing your arms around everywhere because that's quite distracting. Thinking about your posture, thinking about, again, coming back to your confidence. When we're feeling a lack of confidence, we tend to make ourselves small. So we tend to get into more of a defensive position. Perhaps we cross our arms, we cross our legs, we slump our shoulders. When we're feeling really strong and confident and powerful and like we can take on anything in the world, we tend to be more upright. Our shoulders are back, our chin's up, our eyes are big, our whole demeanor is bigger. And so thinking about if you're going into a presentation or a meeting or a conversation and you're not feeling very confident, making yourself a bit bigger can actually help reinforce your confidence and give yourself a bit of a confidence boost. And Amy Cuddy has got some great work on this. So she's a really great resource to look at, Amy Cuddy.
Awesome. I'll look her up as well. It goes back to something I watched years ago with like Tony Robbins. He said, imagine behind the curtain, there's someone who's depressed. How are they standing? How are they speaking? What do they look like? What's their body language like? And I think it just goes back to exactly what you just saying then, is to get yourself into the right state. You've got to be aware of your posture, shoulders back, head held high, put a smile on the face. And the amount of times I've gone into, whether it be a pitch or a really important meeting, and I've actually done that. I've actually stood in my superwoman pose with my shoulders held back, and it does, it makes me instantly feel I've got this. Whereas if I went in with my shoulder slumped and picking up my nails, playing with my hair, you know, not making eye contact, instantly I feel nervous, they feel nervous, and everyone's going, oh god, this is awkward. So it is so important to be aware of our body language, but also more importantly as well, or just as importantly, on Zoom. Because I had a situation the other day, it was very odd. I was speaking to somebody, and it was like I was speaking just to a wall. Like there was just no interaction. Like I was just talking. I was like, is the camera froze? Like it was just like, I thought, oh God, like no nodding. Like I'm very much like nodding just to showcase that I am liking what they're saying, smiling. It was just nothing. I was like, this is weird. So how important is it to be aware of our body language on a Zoom call or as Teams call, whatever we're doing as well?
Oh, it's pivotal, right? Because in the same in a face-to-face environment, you need to think about it through two lenses. One, you want to make sure that this person speaking knows that you're listening, that you're engaged with them, because at some point you're going to want them to listen to you. So do them the same courtesy. And as you said before, listening is the greatest gift that you can give somebody. In today's world where everything's go, 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 to put everything down and actually fully focus and listen and be present with somebody is phenomenal. And it makes the other person feel so valued that they in turn will do that to you, and it will boost everybody and confidence will go up all round. So that's brilliant. The other thing to think about though with Zoom is that you need to make sure that you are positioning yourself in the right way. And so often I'll have calls with people and that this is what I see because they've got me on a screen over here. And so they're looking at my face. But going back to what I was saying before about eye contact, it's the lens of the camera when you're on Zoom or Teams that is the eye contact. And so you'll see now that I'm looking at you and looking down the lens of my camera. If I was to actually look at your image, now I'm looking at your image and you can see I'm not making eye contact with you. And so there's a disconnect already. So if you want to be thinking about your body language and the nonverbal signals that you're sending to your respective stakeholders, make sure that you've got your camera in line with your eyes so that you can make that eye contact. And make sure that your eyes are level with the camera as best as possible. You don't want it to be that you're, you know, a little head way down here in the corner or something. You want to make sure that your camera's as centrally focused as possible, just so that you can present as much of you as possible. In terms of how nonverbal signals fare on screen as opposed to in person, in some way, they're almost heightened because in group scenarios, everyone can see what you're doing. And that's when we can forget that we're actually on screen. And I think that's why a lot of people choose not to have their cameras on, because they want to be doing something on the side. They want to be sending the emails. They want to be scrolling through their social media or watching the news or something. You can't hide where it's on screen. And as a leader, and going back to if you're looking to boost your career, if you're looking to get to the next step, you need to be visible. And so turning your camera on and thinking about your body language is a great way to start.
Love it. And you never know as well when someone's going to throw you a question. If you've been distracted or, oh God, who, hands up, who's done that? You know, not really been present or paying attention or saying, Georgia, what do you think? What? We've all been there. We've all learned the hard way. But yeah, it's so important, especially if you want to step up into a leadership role, be subtle things, turning on your camera, being present at asking good questions, listening, so, so important. You touched upon before public speaking, and you said as well that people don't use your hands. And I disagree with that as well. I think I tend to sort of use my hands as well. I think it shows that, you know, you're passionate and it just sort of comes naturally to me. I'm doing it now when I'm speaking to you. So, but talking on public speaking, I did Toastmasters many years ago, and I did it for a couple of years, and it really, really helped me with my communication, because I was petrified of doing any sort of form of public speaking, whether it was podcasting like this, or whether it was speaking in a boardroom or presenting to a big group of people, I've come a long, long way and I've had to put myself in these uncomfortable positions. But one of the things that they made me so aware of is my filler words, my ums, my ahs, my buts, my so's, my you knows, and all of these things, my ands. And I'm still so aware of trying not to use filler words. It's so hard. I find it hard even now. And even though I'm aware of it, I always listen back to my podcast, go, oh, Georgina, you said but so much and so all the time, cut it out. Advice for those wanting to improve their communication. How important is it to be aware of the filler words that we use? And should we try and pause more? And what was your advice there?
Again, I'll say, come back to the what, to whom and why, those three steps to communication success, and design your presentation with the audience in mind. Don't strive to be perfect, just strive to be of value. And if you know that you are being of value to that audience, then a few ums, ahs and you knows here and there shouldn't make that much of a difference. They'll be focusing on the content rather than the delivery. So start with that. When it comes to the delivery, though, just slow down. Slow it down, take some big, deep breaths. Has multiple advantages, taking big, deep breaths, staying alive being one of them. But by taking those big, deep breaths, you fill up your lungs, give your voice that power and that gravitas, which exudes confidence, which obviously we've talked about before. It also allows your audience to digest what you've just said. It allows you to think about what you're going to say next. And it just brings your heart rate down and allows you that space to become more present and engaged in your delivery. And it stops you from saying the ums, the ers, and the ahs.
Very good advice. Slowing down, something I continue to work on because I do get quite excited when I speak sometimes.
Likewise.
But look, I love everything you've discussed today. And I'm always fascinated when people... You're clearly passionate about what you do, which is amazing. It shines through, and you're very lucky to have found your passion and also monetize that passion. Because I think so many people want to follow their passion and unfortunately they can't quite turn it into revenue, a career. When did you know that this is what you wanted to do? Like, were you quite shy in school? Like, how have you gone on this journey? How have you gone on the journey of becoming, a leadership and communication coach?
My pivotal moment was back in 2010, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, when that managing director said to me, I'd given him lasting confidence, not just at presenting, but life skills. Prior to that, though, I'd always studied acting and theatre as a child, and I was always putting on some sort of show to my parents, my next door neighbour, my poor brother and sister, and whoever I could get, really. And I was always really fascinated with how, if I did this look, or if I wore this costume, or if I said things in this way, it would change the reaction that I got from the audience. And that journey and that love of the theatre and the arts and that storytelling continued throughout my life. And then, as I said, my career started in public relations and then internal communications. And back in about 2010, I realised that those personal and professional interests just... I realized that there was such a parallel between them. And for leaders in particular, all eyes and ears are on you. And you need to use all these communication signals that you have at your disposal to influence the way, so your audience, that influence the way in which they feel about something, the way that they think, feel, act, or behave, and to cause that shift. And how you can use your communication skills to be able to do that, how you can use your communication skills to form a connection between you and your stakeholders, because it's only once you've got that connection that you're going to be able to influence them. And it's only once you've influenced them that you're going to be able to continue and contribute whatever it is that you want to contribute, which, from the title of your podcast, from Career Confidence, I would imagine that anybody listening has got an awful lot that they want to contribute.
Absolutely. And look, as we move into this new world of work and new world of technology, these are the skills, these human skills that we're going to need to develop more and more. Because as I said at the start as well, the number one skill is always communication, adaptability, resilience, empathy, emotional intelligence. Like these are the words being used more and more and more. Not when I first started my career 12 years ago in recruitment, it was all about the technology stack that they wanted. Now it's more about we need, yes, that, but also we need communicator, someone who's able to do this, do this, do this. And it's all soft skills as opposed to all hard skills. The balance is changing. The rise of this skill set is on the up, which is why I wanted to get you on today. But I'm curious, Catherine, has there been anything we haven't discussed today when it comes to leadership, communication, that you think, I want to just touch upon this, so I want your audience to know this, so anything we haven't discussed today that you think is worth my audience knowing?
I think we've covered a really good broad spectrum. You mentioned it earlier on that there's an awful lot, and there is an awful lot. It's easy to think about communication as being, you said, I've emailed somebody, I've spoken to that person, I've presented that presentation. Communication is so much more than that. And the higher up in your career you go, the more important it becomes, because communication is like oxygen to leadership. You can't be an effective leader without being an effective communicator. So really encourage you to invest in developing your communication skills as a means to developing your leadership skills. Because as you say, Georgie, that's what leadership is. And it's these human skills that are going to be the skills of the future, because they can't be replaced by technology. They can't be replaced by AI. So I would certainly suggest that anything you can do to enhance or to practice and continue practicing your communication skills is always going to hold you in good stead. And let's face it, every conversation that you have, every meeting that you go to, every phone call that you make, every email that you write is your training ground. So there's plenty of opportunities to practice. And the other thing I would encourage your listeners to have a think about is, what is their brand as a leader? How do they want to be known? And that's a really important part of the work that I do with my clients. As a starting point, it's really important to get a solid understanding as to who you are, what you value, what your purpose is, what your direction is as a leader, whether you're a current leader, an emerging leader, or a future leader. The sooner that you can get a handle on that and really come to understand who you are and what you have to offer and how you want to be seen by your respective stakeholders, the easier it's going to be for you not only to find the role that works for you and the industry that works for you, but it's going to be easier for you to communicate with your stakeholders, because you're doing it from such a solid foundation. And if you think about any of the big organizations out there, you've got a really solid and reputable tone of voice. They have that really solid understanding of who they are as an organization, and they're unwavering in protecting that. So that's where I would encourage everybody to start, is really thinking about who are you as a leader and how do you want to show up?
So powerful. I think clarity is king. And if you know who you are, what your values are, what you stand for, what you want to be known for, what's your brand internally and externally, it's just so powerful. And I don't think many people stop to think about this and the whole self-awareness piece, because maybe if they stop to think as well, they might think, actually, do I want to be a leader? Do I even want this? That's the other piece to it. And that's okay as well. You know, like it's a big job to be a leader and be responsible for others. I mean, everyone's a leader in some capacity, right? Whether you're, you know, you've got a couple of young children or, you know, whatever, but everyone's a leader at some capacity. But to lead a big organization or a big team and be in charge of lots of people and shareholders and everything else, it's a big job.
It really is.
You've got to be ready.
It really is. You've got to be ready. And you hit the nail on the head there when you said people don't often stop to think about it. And I work with, as I said, current, future and emerging leaders. And I've worked with leaders who have been leaders for many, many years, leading organizations. And often when I work with them, it's the first time that they've actually stopped to think about, who is it that I am as a leader? How do I want to present myself to my organization, to my stakeholders, internal and external? And is my communication supporting that, or is it conflicting against that? And so that's where all of my coaching programs start, by getting people to think about who they are as a leader. And I've actually got an offer for your listeners today, Georgie, if that's
amazing. Yeah.
So my signature program is called Communicate to Connect, and it's really designed to equip leaders with the skills that they need to communicate in a way that builds rapport, fosters trust, creates and expands their influence, and paves the way to maximize and fulfill their potential as a leader. About a year ago, I transitioned that coaching program into an online program, recognizing that not everybody has the means or the resources to work with a coach, but I wanted to make that more accessible to people at all parts and all stages of their career. It's normally $995, but I'd like to offer a 50% discount to your listeners. Wow. So all you need to do is enter the code, which I believe we'll put in the show notes, and you can get 50% off that program.
Thank you so much. That is so generous. And I honestly encourage every single person that has listened to this to go and have a look at that course. And it sounds like a course that everyone needs to do if they want to be a good leader and really step up and improve their skills. But thank you so much, Catherine. It's been honestly an absolute pleasure speaking with you. I've learned a lot as well. And I think we're all work in progress. And God, I've made so many mistakes as a leader, and I really am working on, again, that question of like, who do I want to be? How would what would the best version of me look like? How do I want to show up today? I always am asking myself these questions, and not every day is perfect, and that's also okay as well. I want people to know that, like, you're not always going to get it right. You're going to have days where you go, God, I didn't listen to that person, and oh God, my communication there was awful. But tomorrow's a new day. Dust yourself off. You know, we're all work in progress. We're all trying to do the best we can. And sometimes, you know, life gets busy and we've got to give ourselves some grace as well.
We do. We absolutely do. And the great thing is that if you have that moment of clarity when you're on the drive home or you're in the shower at the end of the day or in the shower in the morning, you think, oh, I really felt like I didn't listen properly to that person yesterday, or I really felt like that email missed the mark. Well, you can just go back and have the conversation, go back to that stakeholder and say, I'm not sure that we finished on the right note, or I'm not sure if I articulated that in the best way. I'm not sure that I listened to you properly yesterday. I just wanted to check. And so you can go back and you can keep the conversation going. And again, that serves two purposes. Not only does it help you clarify your understanding, it also sends a message to that individual or to those groups of people that you want to improve, that you are listening and that you are self-aware, which is always going to be a positive thing.
I completely agree. Catherine, where can I send people that want to find out more about you, your courses and what you do?
Yeah, so the website is a good place to start. So my company is Behind the Scenes Communications. The website is btscommunications.com.au. Or you can find me, Catherine Holliman, on LinkedIn.
Amazing. We'll make sure we put all of the notes below. But thank you so much. I've learned so much. Like I said, it's been a joy. And I'm sure we'll get you back on in the future to talk more about leadership and communication. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you.